May the Lord help us to commence our worship today by singing hymn number 919. 919. We sing the praise of him who died, of him who died upon the cross. The sinner's hope let men deride, for this we count the world but dross. Hymn number 919.
Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in any thing ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Let us pray. Ever merciful, ever gracious, holy, holy, holy Lord God, which was, which is to come, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, we would not multiply words, we would not flatter thee with our lips. We come as poor, needy, dying sinners by nature before thee to worship. Grant that we may have the Spirit. This is our cry, our prayer, for the Holy Ghost to be in our midst in this assembly. And as dew upon the word of the gospel, the word of grace, that the Holy Ghost may be in our hearts. May there be that anointing of the Spirit, and may Christ be exalted in our hearts and our lives. Insufficiently, Lord, in such a way that we are able to daily worship thee in preparation for the end of the journey below, which is not the end at all. It is a saying we have, and there does come an end to things below, but there is a continuing in eternity, and that we may have the apostles' Spirit in his desires, as so expressed in the reading. But there is a forsaking, Lord, and there is a following, and there is the heart's desire, but there is also the giving. There is the grace given. And, O Lord, although we can do nothing in ourselves for this, we cannot make excuse. We have the earthy. Left to ourselves, our prayers are carnal, self-centered. Oh, that we might know that opening hymn, and to be able to speak of the love, dying love of Christ, the dying love of the Saviour, that we may be able by the Spirit to receive it in our hearts, our lives, and it may affect us and may change us forever. Not to affect us like the seed that fell on stony ground, or the seed that fell upon a thorny ground, but ground well prepared, hungering and thirsting after God. May we come confessing our sins, and may we come forsaking them, and leave us not to say we're not sinners,
and we haven't sinned like other people. That proves our ignorance of heavenly teaching. For by nature, our soul is enmity to God, and we will not have this man to reign over us. And every convenience that we have to stifle conscience is taken. O Lord, do humble us, bring us to need thee. Open up eternity, or to be lost forever. Let us face it, out of Christ Jesus, it will be the lake of fire, and brimstone, and anguish, and regret, and groanings. O Lord, let us face it. But there, Lord, do bless thy poor waiting people, those who need thee, those who weep after thee, those who will perish without thee, those who long for thee, those who are brought to look into thy word and dwell there. Lord, our hearts to dwell in the word, and the word to walk up and down in our souls and our life as we go on in the path below. Does the word of God search us? What a mercy to find us out. May it find us. And may we be among those humble poor who weep after thee. Thou hast heard from them this morning. Thou knowest who has wept before thee this morning, who have had to bow their knee at last, perhaps stubbornly refusing for a long time, and to bow and to cry with the hymn writer, "Give me Christ or else I die," and that dying is an eternal dying. O Lord, no coming back from the pit. We pray that they may see a way of escape. The Lamb of God, thy precious blood. Oh, may thy cries and groans at Calvary be made very, very comforting to them. May it become their life. And may they know those sins buried at the Calvary and put away forever, and subdue the monster. Lord, they will never be sinless in the flesh. But the Saviour speaks, and look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, there is none else. And may we each then be renewed in mind to behold thy dying love, and to have the witness that our sins are washed away through thy precious blood, and we by living faith, the gift, a wonderful gift of God, the blessed gift of God, being able to hide under the blood, under the glory of thy dying. And as condemnation comes by the accuser and by our own follies, being able to point the way to glory, the way of escape, the way of salvation, the year of release, the year of Jubilee, to rejoice in the Lamb who has spoken to our hearts and who has put away our sins, now risen again, yes, risen, ascending on high, and now appearing in heaven for the saints, for us. May we be among those number of the saints. Dear Lord, but so help us now to worship thee with a humble, broken, needy, longing spirit, feeling inadequate, not able to attain to high things, but, O Lord, crying for mercy, the publican's prayer. Oh, but may our spirits be led to the Lamb in all the pathway below, in all the suffering for sin, and all the victory and the overcoming of evil in our heart. O Lord Jesus, may thy love be shed abroad to overwhelm, wash away, cleanse. A new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put in you, and may we know that new spirit given unto us. Remember us now as we gather around thy word. And, O Lord, we ask that we bless this house of prayer. Let thy work appear. Bless our dear friends, the deacons. Be gracious to them, their loved ones, their concerns. One in his lonely pathway more now. Remember him for good and bless him. And do help them in leading the public worship. And do remember the church and the congregation and the families. Do keep them together in thy fear and keep them in the unity and peace. But they will have to be in a low place. Lord, do bless them and increase and build them up in church and congregation. Do remember age, friends. It is evening time. Life is behind. Nothing can be put right in the past that's wrong. And there's no glory in our lives below. But Lord, do shine in each of our age friends' hearts. And open the windows of heaven. This is not a vain request. I feel to need it myself. To pour down a blessing. Do remember all in middle life, in the heat and burden of responsibility and business, the daily callings, hourly callings, and in family life and responsibilities in home and business, responsibilities of parenthood. Give much grace. Much grace is needed. Continually, daily. And may there be that casting their care upon thee. And to may know that wonderful discovery, to wonderfully discover by answers to prayer, for he careth for you. Do remember our young people going forth in life, into college and university and study and so forth. Open doors for them, provide for them, touch their hearts. But, oh Lord, while they have those right prospects, one thing is needful. Oh, may they know thy call. May all things work together for their good. We humbly pray. Bless the children, the little ones, the babes, among them here and in the churches. Bless the Sunday school. Encourage those that teach. And our request is, may thy word follow our young friends around and in their school days. May thy fear be in their heart. And those that homeschool me, there be that blessing known in the midst. Lord, we pray for those in special need and trouble at this time, in whatever way, afflictions, peculiar afflictions, worrying circumstances, worrying afflictions. Gracious God, have mercy, O tender shepherd, have mercy on thy dear ones. Remember them in mercy. And, O Lord, remember the churches, the group of churches, the editors of our denominational magazines. Bless the circulation of the magazines. Encourage our editors in their labours. And remember thy servants that go forth, those of recent time. Remember one coming soon. Bless him, help him. And send labourers still into the vineyard, we humbly pray. And bless thy servants that come here from week to week and time to time. We do thank thee for bringing our dear friend, thy servant, the pastor Dicker, safely home. And we pray thy blessing upon him and his loved one, and be near them, and may it be among the all things that work together for good, not just for him and his loved one, but for Zion and thy people also. And bless all thy servants who will not preach again in great age. We remember thy one spiritual Israel in this land and through the earth. The missionaries where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Unknown to us, under war, persecution, genocide. Lord, may we value the mercies and privileges that we do enjoy in this our land, in this evil day. Arise for help in the nations of the earth. Terrible things are happening. All the instability. Stay the hand, destroy the terrorist. And grant lasting peace may be made in the war-torn regions. But, O Lord, it is a lost world. We pray for our country, Prime Minister, Cabinet. Lead them, guide them. O Lord, raise up men of integrity in the coming election in Parliament to be elected, who fear thy name, who know thee. Raise up statesmen once more, who know what to do. Remember our King and the Princess of Wales at this time. These are nothing happens by chance. We pray kindly for him. He is our King. O Lord, of the nation, I mean. Dear Lord, do be merciful to him and may it work for his good. Whatever may have happened in the past, he needs mercy now. Have mercy and open his eyes and lead him to thyself and the gospel. And likewise the Princess of Wales. So have mercy on us. We thank you for every mercy we have, a daily provision, abundance of supply. And, O Lord, we have a throne of grace. We have thy word before us. May the hidden manna be made to be living bread. May our younger friends search the scripture. Jesus, speak to them out of the word. May they see thee in power. May they know thee. And we acknowledge the doors of the sanctuary open and the glory of our great high priest, thy precious blood, and how we need it. Remember thy servants at Black Boys and Pick Hill today. Help them, bless them, be with them, and bless the word. O Lord, thou knowest our inner cries. There are those here this morning crying My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. But when shall I come and appear before God? Do bless the dear friends. Now, Lord, pardon our iniquity, for it is great. I earnestly pray, may we not glibly say we're sinners. May we be so ashamed of our sinnership, it may keep us quiet, but seeking thee, crying to thee, and giving thee no rest till thou dost bless us. And O Lord, as I close now, bless the humble, tender, seeking soul. Lord, remember those that have wept for thee this day. A word in season, a direction in providence, an anguish or sorrow they personally carry. Answer prayer, speak thy promise, speak thy word, speak peace. Lord, bless us all together, we pray, all together in salvation and comfort in the pathway and for eternity. We beg in Jesus' name, giving thanks, and for his sake, amen.
Hymn number 814, commencing to sing at verse 5. 814, verse 5. God in his scriptures to reveal his will has condescended. What there is said he will fulfill, though man may be offended. Hymn 814, verse 5.
In a complete dependence upon the Lord for needed help and blessing, I draw your attention to the book of Psalms, Psalm 107 and verse 7. Psalm 107 and verse 7. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Psalm 107, verse 7. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. The words I read in Philippians 3 was with me much this morning, and I had some thought of speaking from it, but this word came to me. And I see a blessed connection. Firstly, in this Psalm 107 is generally given a title of a providential psalm. But there's salvation and gracious experience for heaven and the trials of faith in the psalm. And we can apply titles to certain psalms. Psalm 38 for affliction, which can be true, but is there not the spiritual exercise for sin and sorrow for sin in that psalm? And the word of God is not bound, and it is the Spirit that quickeneth. And the Lord will apply his word to your circumstances and your life in whatever way it may be necessary in his love for you and divine teaching. That's a big question, isn't it? His love for me. Is that your great desire as you've come to chapel? And that you may be in Philippians 3. That I may know him. Dear friends, and be found in him. I may know him. Dear friends, this knowing him is life forever. It's an eternal knowing. It's not just for now. And it won't end. If we're brought to know the Lord Jesus Christ, it is forever. And if you have been favoured in your soul, you will know that. You will know that. The light will show you. It's not just a blessing for now. It's eternal. It's forever. But you see, Paul did know him. So how could he make such a prayer? But if you're in the footsteps of Paul, if you're being led forth by the right way, if Paul was right, dear friends, you'll never get weary of needing him and knowing him more, more and more. And there is this cross. There is a worry over that. There seems a heaviness, doesn't there, sometimes when you think of the cross of Christ? You think of affliction, you think of loss, you think of suffering, you think of your will being crucified. But dear friends, the Lord doesn't leave you in that. That may be, there might be truth in that, there is truth in it. But if you're favoured of God, he giveth the grace and he shines in it.
And the Lord Jesus, those he calls and leads them in this strange pathway, this difficult pathway, this time, whatever sorrow it is, whatever reason, we needn't go into detail. The Lord knows your sorrow. He gives the grace. He shines in his word. And I believe his dear people know that. I'm not assuming anything here. And it works for our good. The great point is to know him, isn't it? And all sorrow, dear friend, becomes joy with Christ. Oh dear, if you don't believe me, I can't do nothing about it. I speak the truth. But you know, there's one thing, don't forget. We're born unto trouble. Why? Is God unkind? No. But you have to know your sin. You have to know the reason why. We have to know the displeasure of the Lord. And I say this kindly. Think of the dear dying lamb. Oh, think of what he suffered. The agonies. You have your agonies. You have his just judgments. I have them. We have them. But he endured it. Willingly. The hymn writer says, how willing was Jesus to die, that we poor sinners might live. Think about it. There's joy in that cross. There must be a thankfulness to put away our sin, to give us the hope in it, and to lead you to know, wanting to know more about it. And if you notice in that reading, and the power of his resurrection, a new life, a new heart, living in Christ, a risen Christ, who has conquered sin, and the cry for our sin, and you will find it. The Lord has said that. It's not John Rosier's version of Scripture. The Lord has said it. If you seek, you'll find it in him, in knowing him. And the wonderful thing is, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Dear friends, are you hiding under a religion, an uprightness? Are you taking refuge in your desires only? Or are you think you pleasing God by saying those right prayers at home? You repeat the right prayer each week. Or you may be following someone else's prayer in chapel and so forth. You know, he knows your desires. It's serious, earnest, and be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, my own religion, my own standard to be accepted of God, but the righteousness which is of God through faith in the Lamb dying. That righteousness that works in us by grace, that Christ imparting eternal life. You want eternal life, imparts righteousness. You discover his righteousness in that eternal life. We all want eternal life. But here Paul feels certain that if he stands in Christ's righteousness, he's safe. Why? Children of Israel, can we have Egypt under the blood? They were safe. The destroying angel passed them by. How we need that faith, that I may know him. Or to hide there. Hide there. Dear friends, you may not have views of Christ. It's by faith in him. Faith in him. It's not having heavenly views, wonderful visions.
is to receive the gospel in the spirit, in your soul, to give you hope. Wilt thou cast down, O my soul? Wilt thou disquiet within me? Hope thou in God, a well-grounded hope, because he's merciful and gracious and long-suffering, and you will know it, because he's been exactly that to you, and bearing with our infirmities. And Paul never came to that place where he says he counted him if he could, not to have apprehended. Why? He was pressing on. He never came to any secure foundation in himself, any righteousness of himself. His security was the rock, and he felt to be on it by this Jesus making himself precious. And Peter says unto you, therefore which believe, he is precious. Look, can you say this morning, he's precious? You may say, well, it's by desire. Well, that's being led forth in the right way, isn't it? Unto you therefore which believe, he's precious, a merciful high priest. What more can he do than he's done in dying for the sinner, the coming sinner, the longing sinner? And you may be a sinner that you know you are, but you don't feel how you ought to. You think you should be made a worse sinner. Well, you be careful what you say. I think I've told you this before. There was a good deacon at Rotherfield. It's in Mr. Paul's book. I think his name was Mr. Avis, long before our time. And he got tempted. He had a law work. And he asked the Lord to give him a law work, condemned. And the Lord did. And how he regretted. He thought it was the right thing to ask. How it grieved him. Friend, his sins were awful. And he had to beg of the Lord for mercy again, to shine. And it was a while, but in the end the Lord did. Cast not away therefore your confidence, your trust of faith, which hath great recompense of reward. Dear friends, that you will count yourself not for apprehended, but the secret is pressing toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But there is the counting all things below as dung that I may win Christ. Now, who speaks here? This is not just a psalm of providence, dear friends. It is spiritual. It is the Lord speaking. He led them forth. The Lord did. And you can think of the angel in the fiery, cloudy pillar out of Egypt. Many things would come to mind. But he did. He led them forth. He led them forth. The Son of God leads his people now in the right way. The point here is in the gospel, for his people, they have a head. And this head, of course, it's God the Father who chose his people and gave them to our head, our glorious head. Has the Father given you to Jesus, your glorious head? How will you know? Because he becomes your good shepherd, and he speaks, and he leads you forth by in the right way. It is Christ, dear friend, is the church's head, the good shepherd. You will not go to know the love of God around the Son. You discover it in the Son. Oh, you discover God's love in Christ Jesus, because he's blessed the church in him. He chose his people in him before the world began. In Christ. He gave them to Christ before the world was created to redeem. That's the foreknowledge of God. That was his will. Therefore, if you've been made alive, the Lord Jesus Christ is your good shepherd, your head, to bring you to the Father who chose you, to bring you to know God without a veil between. Paul discovered God, that he thought he was pleasing, on the Damascus Road, and it blinded him. So terrible was the sight. The Lord Jesus spoke. Of course, in that case, he was persecuting the church. We realise there is a difference. He can't apply that to everyone. Here, of course, but what about your hatred to the brethren? Some younger friends, I'm not saying you do, I hope not, but all the prejudice we have, that we see, you see the deacons' bad sides, don't you? All the faults they have, and why didn't they say this and that? And the minister, you know, you're sitting there, I'm not being unkind here, of course, but I've done it myself, so I know what I'm talking about. You pick all the faults and so forth. It's the word we want, dear friends, the word. The good shepherd, the good shepherd. He led them forth. The Father choosing you in him, bringing you to need Christ. Like Paul, afresh, again. The point is, the hymn writer John William Gadsby, well right, once in him, or was it John Kent? Once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. We are in him forever. If Christ has revealed himself and blessed you, it is forever, it's done, it's there. But if you went abroad and had no contact with your family, that your bowels yearned over, your wife or husband, whatever it might be, and children, and you never heard from them, it would be awful if you loved them. And how can a living soul go on without hearing from him whom your soul loveth? Think of the Song of Solomon. You long to hear from your glorious head. You long to hear from the one who redeemed you, who called you, who laid down his life for you. He led them forth. Friend, he laid down his life for you, didn't he? If you're his. Think of it. What a tremendous thing. On such love, my soul still ponder. Love so great, so rich, so free. Say, was lost in holy wonder. Well, Lord, has it reached you? Is it in your heart, longing to receive it? Well, Lord, such love to me. Can you work it out? You'll never work. The law, you try. Under the law, the rushes of the law, you're trying to work it all out yourself, aren't you? Why God should love you? Yeah, because of this. And if you're taught of him, you'll discover why he shouldn't love you. That's the point. He's got every reason not to love us. But he does. He does. That's sovereign grace. He makes it known, dear friends. Grace, tremendous grace. To receive hope in the Lamb of God is the greatest blessing you'll ever have. You know, it may be just a hope. Hope in his blood is a well-founded one.
Hope in the dying of Jesus is a real well-founded hope in him. You can't go wrong there, dear friends, at the foot of the cross. And there you love the cross, and there you're willing to suffer. I speak carefully here. It needs grace for this. To suffer all things for him, as Paul did. Anyone who speaks glibly about Christ's sufferings has not been taught it. That's all I mustn't say that, must I? I mustn't say that, because I've had to learn slowly, I'm afraid. Well, he led them forth by the right way. Dear friends, are you leading me forth by the right way? It's the narrow way. It's the narrow way. Friend, and Christ spoke of that narrow way, and he compared it to the broad way, which leadeth to instruction. And think of the broad way, all embracing, isn't it? Easy to get into, easy to walk in. What's the narrow way? Well, we often think of narrow passages and alleys and that sort of thing. But there's something better than that, and I'm sure I've probably said it here before. Jesus only. Singleness of eye. Turning not to the right hand. Turning not to the left for comfort, for salvation, for blessing. It's following me. Footstep by footstep. Here a little, there a little. Encouragement, divine teaching. Oh, that is the narrow way. And of course, this is the cross of Christ. That all else must go. And this is where disappointment comes in to the flesh. And in that disappointment, the opposition arises in our hearts by nature. It's called the old nature. As Paul calls it, the old man. But look at the willingness of the new man of grace. And Paul had that new principle, a new heart will I give you. Dear friend, is he leading you in the narrow way? Jesus only. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. An unchanging, merciful high priest. Have you had to go with him to them this morning? Lord, help me. Under much discouragement. The woman Canaan was discouraged. He answered her, not a word. Then he said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and so forth. Give it to dogs. Oh, truth, Lord. I am unworthy. But a crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave. Do you long for the children's bread? Friend, you will get the children's bread. And that is that hope in Jesus. The right way. But he led them forth. He led them forth. And to favour them in soul. To give them that good hope through mercy. And despite the opposition, the cares, the fears, which you're daily assailed with, and the temptations, and the, as I said already, the opposition of the flesh within, and the difficulties where Christ tries our faith, proves our faith, still to hold fast that which you have, that no man takes your crown. That hope in the Lamb. Well-grounded hope in Jesus. Jesus only. Why? He fulfilled that law of righteousness.
And when you haven't and can't, you never will. He fulfilled that law of righteousness, and he made it honourable, honourable. And he suffered the penalty in that making it honourable for his dear people. That enmity was, that penalty was death. That was your death, if you're his. Dear friend, Jesus put away that sin in us at Calvary forever and conquered. It was a victory. I think we were saying last evening, I can't think what it was, but that very fact. It is finished. It is finished. And also, as Paul writes to the Colossians, you are complete in him. There's the completion. The completion. You're complete in him. Through it is finished. The completeness. Dear friends, the right way. The right way. The humble way. There are many things one could say. But if Christ is in it, it will be the humble way, the tender way, the dependent way, the pleading way, the grieving way over sin, the asking way, the constant exercise of being emptied from vessel to vessel and to be refilled with his gracious word. Is his word like a well of water springing up? You'll find that that's the right way as well. His word is it's like a fire within, isn't it? Eternal life, a new heart's been given. And his word is like a well of water springing up into eternal life. That they might go to a city of habitation. A city of habitation. A place prepared. If the Lord Jesus has revealed himself in a measure, and I'll say that carefully, I'm not speaking of great visions here, but if he's shown you that he is your Saviour and he's led you to him and encourages you by his word, and he's made precious unto you as the one thing needful, the one thing you long for, and or perhaps you've received him. You've received him. It means this. He has gone to prepare that place for you. A city of habitation. That is where the Saviour is now. For his people. In heaven. And he's prepared it. And he makes intercession for them. For the saints. The groanings, the cries, the sorrows, the temptations. He knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. He has felt the same. Go to him. Tell him all. Tell him everything. Your weakness, your untowardness, your forgetfulness, your unmindfulness, your heart wandering. He was tempted of the devil, the 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. But then we read this, and I've told you this before. There's a wonderful word. He said to the disciples, "Ye are they which continued with me in my temptations." And what was that about? His sonship. His sonship. And what's your temptation? Your sonship in him. Your calling in him. Because his church is made to be heir with him. A joint heir. You say that's high doctrine. That's high doctrine. Well, it might be, but it's a very blessed one, isn't it? Wouldn't you want it? Dear friends, that's what Christ has done. Not you can't do it. And don't reject it because you can't do it. Oh, for grace to believe that he's done all things well. Done all things well. Preparing a place for us. Making intercession. He's prepared at Calvary and given forth his righteousness, which he will discover to his saints in measures through faith received by faith. But he's now in glory. The work continues. The completeness, yes, was at Calvary. That was where he's enacted, put away. But now he's teaching. Now he's leading. He's leading us to discover the glory of Calvary and the wonders of his appearing in heaven for us. Dear friend, his love continues in that work above where he intercedes. A city of habitation. This is very high doctrine, isn't it? That we should be made a joint heir with him in sonship. There's not anyone in this chapel, I hope, that can glibly say, oh yeah, it's wonderful, I feel that. Dear friends, it's very glorious, very blessed. It's been conformed to his image through the cross. But it is a truth, a divine, to be an heir with him in glory. And he has done this, and he works it in his people. And he will work it in you, if you're his, to long to know him. There you discover sonship. In knowing him, in him revealing himself, in him showing him. Well, no wonder Paul said, and that's why I read it, that I may know him. These truths are discovered in knowing him. And who are these now, as we close or begin to think about winding down? Who are they? Who are these people? They sound a wonderful people, don't they? And dear friend, they're ugly in themselves. Ugly as any person could be. You know, all the wretchedness of nature. They've discovered it. They've been shown it. They're not pleased with themselves. They don't strut about in this world trying to accomplish a dozen things at a time for their own glory. And they come to chapel and they come to prayer and don't know how to pray. Do you know what it is for sin? I'm not saying anything terribly outrageous, but to get to the end of the day and think you're a good Christian, and then you go to pray and all you've done is forget God all day. And there you are, trying to blurt out a few things in prayer. And you can't please him, can you? Your conscience is wounded. You're minding earthly things, aren't you? And forgotten all about him. But you know, dear friends, if you have known him, he doesn't change. His love is the same. I'm not trying to promote complacency here. Don't get the wrong end of the stick, please. Not at all, but you will get to glory, heaven, through his love, not yours. Not your obedience, his obedience. It's what he's done for the sinner. Not what you're doing, what you can do, or what you've achieved. It's not coming to the end of the journey and feeling, oh, I've done so well, I'm a good Christian, and I'm nearly there, and the gates of it. I must be careful. I wouldn't speak glibly here, God forbid. You know, the gates are wide open. Are you a poor beggar still? He led them forth by the right way. Dear friends, you will, if you need him, You'll be brought to need him in great straits sometimes. Earnest need. Save me or I perish. But dear friend, that need that he gives, is not of nature. Are you that Lord, help me? Is there that reaching forth to touch the border of his garment? Are you with the leper? See the faith. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. See the humbling, if thou wilt. If thou be pleased to save me, if thou be pleased to condescend to me, if thou wilt. Got to be his will, isn't it? Have you had to face God's will like a rock? You say, what of his will if he's not to bless me? Dear friends, it is his will to bless his people. That's the enemy. It comes in like a flood, doesn't it? It is. Why do you think that God sent his only begotten Son if it wasn't his will to bless his people? And to this poor seeker, the poor crying pilgrim. It is his will to bless them. But you see how he had to face this in this particular matter. Perhaps you've got a particular matter. We have to fall into God's will. If thou wilt. But you see, there was faith there as well. Thou canst make me clean. Can you see he's able to? See, there's a wonderful discovery. It's the will to do it. He must do it. And there's a set time to do it. But how many set times you've been waiting for and still nothing happens? The man of Bethesda's pool. What a disappointment. Friends, I just wonder at that. I have to be honest with you. Could I cope with all this? That's my old nature, of course. I'm not making excuses. But all those years, waiting. Thou canst make me clean. Thou canst. And it was according to his faith was given unto him. He healed him. And he faced an impossibility as a leper. There's no cure, dear friends. But faith saw that he had everything. Christ has it all. Has everything for his people. To bless them and to save them unto the uttermost. And according to his faith, he healed him. What a change. Well, spiritual leprosy. You know, leprosy spreads everywhere in the body. Sin has ruined us totally and completely. Without going into the detail. He led them forth by the right way. The leper didn't know, but he's being led of God. Nicodemus didn't know, but he has been led of God when he went to inquire of Jesus after night. The woman of Canaan didn't know, but she was led forth by the right way. The dying thief didn't know, but he was being led forth by the right way. I think that appointment for the one, terrible for the one who wasn't, is no lot or part in it, is it? It's a terrible thing to have no lot or part in the matter. It's a fearful thing. And if you're a tender child of God, you fear presumption. Well, the thief that was saved was led forth by the right way. What, to commit crimes? Of course not. That was his ruin. And he was now we justly suffer. We justly suffer. There's the right way. We justly suffer for our sin. This man has done nothing amiss. To know him, that I may know him. He's done what? He's suffering for our sin. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Well, there's divine teaching. There's one there who's a king. He discovers this man behind, beside him is the king. He's the king. And he's got a kingdom. It's a heavenly kingdom. To go to a city of habitation. Oh, this city of habitation. You know, this day shalt thou, oh, what a word. You know, we can't just glibly apply that to everyone, can we? Because it's the time when they're appointed to die. But I suppose in a sense you could apply it to the blessing in the soul, but we wouldn't stretch these points, dear friends, in imagination. He was a dying man, justly suffering for his sin. And what a salvation. What a grace to die on. A dying grace in a dying hour. And that is what we need. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. This shows that Christ's soul went to glory, and so did the thief. His soul went to glory. He led them forth by the right way. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it was all of grace. And I think of that hymn, it's not in our book, then, O my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in thy precious blood, and take my sins away. You can die on that, you know, to have your sins taken away. Because the kingdom opens. We don't just go from a state of condemnation to a vacuum. No, it's salvation has come to this house, a new heart. Dear friends, amidst all the trials, amidst all the fears, amidst all the sorrows, if you're among those who fear his name, he leads you forth by the right way. And as I did say with that Philippians, which I was going to speak from this morning, thinking of last evening, but when this morning this other word came, and I saw the connection, that he led them forth by the right way. The path the Lord went, and I won't, the time has run. It's follow me, dear friends. Let me close on that. It's the simple way. The simple way. In heart first, and then pathway. Follow me. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Whatever you might have this morning, worried about this, worried about that, you might be worrying about the church, congregation, your family. You can't take them with you to heaven, dear friends. I'm not being unkind here. I know the agonies of my own case. Singleness of eye, looking unto Jesus. Follow me. Follow me. He led them forth by the right way. They might go to a city of habitation.
God willing, Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon. And Mr. Timothy Parrish is expected to preach for our Good Friday morning service at 10 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Joseph Woodhams is expected to preach and address the Sunday school, and he will also administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. The cemetery trustees meet tomorrow evening at 7:30 in the vestry. I think the friends would like to know, if they don't already, that Mr. Robert Field has been discharged from hospital now to go home. Let us close with hymn number 990. 990. Jesus, now thyself reveal, manifest thy love to me. Make me, Saviour, make me feel all my soul's delight in thee. Hymn 990.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, rest and abide upon us each, now, forever. Amen.